Pay attention. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm just going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Almost went into the, yeah. "A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." This talks about seasons, if you will. There is a due season to each one of our lives, right? In verse 2, for example, a time to be born and a time to die. There is a time for you, a due season for you. God has called us for a purpose. He created us for divine destiny, and there is a season for each one of us to fulfill our divine purpose. I believe that you can know the seasons that God has determined for your life and that you can walk in them. You can hear clearly. I believe that because, well, you're believers and we belong to the Lord. Amen? Not only can you hear clearly from the Lord what your destiny is, what your divine purpose is, but I believe that you can finish your course. My message tonight is entitled "Walking in God's Perfect Timing," which is a pretty lofty concept, but I'm going to try and help you through some of that. And let's pray first. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with life. Thank you, Lord, for having within your mind an idea of who we would be and what we would be for, and that you created us with that in mind. And Lord, as we now are in your presence, as we've come to study your word and to just let your spirit teach us new things, reveal to us new things, Lord, I pray that you would do that clearly through the word that is spoken tonight, that you would help me do it with clarity and with boldness, and that in this evening, our hearts will be stirred, our minds will be inspired, and we will step into a new level of fulfilling the purpose that you have for us in this season, our life. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So, in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And I say, hallelujah for grace. Hallelujah for grace. If it wasn't for grace, we'd all be done. There would be no hope. Because I don't know about you, but there are times when I have really tried to live really, really, really right, and I fail every time. But there is grace, and God has provided a way. And it's not because of who I am, what I can do, what I can accomplish. It's all because of the grace of God and my faith in his substitutionary sacrifice for me. So I'm so thankful for grace. And I want you to understand that as I'm preaching tonight, I'm going to be talking about you being involved in his work. And I need you to understand it's not just about works. Okay? Works are involved. And if you get hung up on the works part of it, you're going to miss out on the wonder and the glory of the grace that God has for your life. All right? So let's keep in mind grace. Grace through it all. Thank you, Lord. And then it goes on to say in verse 10, And I've been referencing this passage quite a bit lately. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you, as I've said many times before, you were created for a purpose. You were created. You are God's workmanship, and you were created to do, what does it say there? Good works. Let me help you out. You were created for good works on this earth. And let me say, in this season, in this time, not later, you were created to do good works which he prepared in advance so that we would walk in them. Hallelujah. The Bible often uses that term that I mentioned, due season. You see it throughout Scripture. It means at the appropriate time. The due season is the appropriate time. And there is an appropriate time. That's why I began with Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And in fact, for example, take Ecclesiastes 3 verse 4. It says, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, there is an appropriate time to laugh, but there's also an appropriate time to weep, to mourn. And you need to know the difference. You need to know when it's appropriate to mourn and when it's appropriate to laugh. You know, the loss of a loved one would be a due season for weeping. But if you're still weeping after 10 years and it's with the same level of intensity or even greater intensity, that's not appropriate. That's out of season. Moving on to Galatians. I've got a lot of scriptures to throw in tonight. Galatians 6, starting in verse 6. It says, let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We're talking about sowing and reaping. You know, there are due seasons for sowing and reaping. We'll get more into that in a minute. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Here we are. We're talking about having been created for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And now it's talking about fulfilling that purpose and not growing weary. And again, it's talking about our time on this earth. It's talking about this season. This is where we just keep doing good. We keep doing the good that we know to do, and we don't grow weary. I talked about grace. Grace is wonderful, but we're not just going to sit back on our blessed assurance and just relax. We have good works to do that God prepared in advance for us to do and not grow weary. Back to verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And I tell you what, that is a great promise. That is a very exciting promise to me, because I don't know about you, but when I have put in the work, I hate it if I come up empty-handed. You know what I'm talking about? Where you've worked and you've worked and you've worked to accomplish something, and then there's nothing there, or it seems as though there's nothing there. This promises that if we continue doing good, we don't grow weary, in due season, we will reap. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes the things that we do, they are exciting. There are things in ministry you just get excited about. I mean, I just love it when people get saved. I love it when we see miracles. I love it when people in, let's say, one of our small groups are really engaged in the conversation, and you can see they're going deeper and deeper in their thought about the messages that have been given. That's to me, that's exciting stuff. So there are many things that we are involved in that can be exciting, and then sometimes there are those things that are just routine. There's both. But I tell you what, whether it's the exciting stuff or the routine stuff, if we keep doing the good that we know to do, we will reap. Hallelujah. You guys ought to be getting a whole lot more excited about this. This is good news. This is the good news of the gospel, really. So, the key is not to lose heart, not to give up. I want to ask you, in fact, look at verse 10. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity. And my question to you is, how open are you to the opportunities that the Lord might bring to you? How open are you to opportunities? It says, as we have opportunity. And I do believe that part of God's purpose in your life and you fulfilling the purpose that He's ordained for you is that He puts ahead of us opportunities for us to do His work, to shine, to bring glory to Him for the things that He is accomplishing in us and through us. So how open are you to those opportunities? You know, here's a key. You don't have to do everything. Now, for some people, that's an important word. Yeah. You know, I learned a long time ago, I can do almost anything I put my mind to, but I can't do everything. I have come to that knowledge. I can do a lot of things, but I can't do everything. So there's some wisdom in what I will do. But you don't have to do everything, but you do need to be mindful of the things that you have opportunity to do. There are opportunities that abound, opportunities that are always coming up before us. What are you going to do? How open are you to those? See, I believe the Lord is always putting opportunities in front of us. And seriously, just look around. There is no lack of need. There is no shortage of things, good works, as it says, that we could be doing. Amen? So verse 10 exhorts us to do good. And I also like that last part where it says, especially to those of the household of faith, especially toward believers. Now, we're all called to do good to all. And that just seems like the Christian thing to do, doesn't it? To love one another. That's right. Let me share, just on that thought, I'm going to be just kind of rambling a lot tonight, so just relax. If you start snoring, we'll nudge you. But let me share a couple of thoughts on doing good, all right? Things that are just my personal thoughts. They're not specified in this particular section of Scripture, but I'm sure if you gave me a little bit of time, I could back up everything I'm going to share with you with examples throughout the teachings that we find in the Bible. Here's one of the things. I don't think God is always going to ask us if we are willing. He's going to put an opportunity ahead of us. He's not going to say, hey, look, if I had that homeless guy come by and you could see that he needs, a good meal, could I count on you to do that? Would you be willing to do that if I brought him by? He doesn't operate that way. That homeless guy is going to come by. It may be the opportunity that the Lord has put before you as opportunities come. And the question is not, are you willing? It's just, there it is. He's not going to ask us always if we are willing, if we're ready. You know, oh no, don't bring that guy today because I'm kind of busy with some other things. Some other time, Lord. I don't think that he's also willing to spend time trying to convince us. You know, can you imagine that conversation? Oh, would you please? Bill, I know you're busy, but would you take some time just for me? Would you do it just for me? He's not going to take that kind of time. He's not considering, you know, trying to convince you that you should do the good works that we all know we should do. That's very clear in Scripture and very, I think, embedded within our own consciousness. right? It's part of how we were created, if we'll tap into that and allow the Spirit to lead us. I don't think that he's going to direct us to do every little thing either. I think he just expects us to keep doing the good that we know to do. You know, if you're waiting for him to tell you everything that you need to do in your day, you're probably going about this the wrong way. Sometimes opportunities just pop up. For example, Sunday, I had a couple of people scheduled to work in the tech booth. They couldn't be there. And so that kind of left us a little short-handed, and I thought, well, I can probably make this work anyway. I can do double duty and do things. But Brian happened to be here. Brian was here for the morning session, and he offered to stay for the second service. Now, I know he had other plans. Their plan was to be here for the first service, and then they had other things to do, shopping and other things to do. But you know what? Brian saw an opportunity, and he decided to stay. He decided to do good, especially for those in the house of the Lord. Amen? That's just you might think that's a very small thing. And if he would have gone, I wouldn't have thought anything about it because he wasn't the one who was responsible to be there. But he was willing. He saw the opportunity. He said, I'll stay. I can stay a little longer. I was blessed. And whether you know it or not, if you were in the second service, you were blessed because he was there and it went better than if I was trying to manage it all on my own. So, you know, be open. Know that God is going to bring those opportunities before you. And you just have to be willing and ready and accepting of those opportunities when they come. Let me give you another. This is kind of an odd example. But, you know, we have two services now. Have you seen... If you've been to both services, the first service has a lot more people in it than the second service. You know what would be cool? If there were some people here tonight or watching on, and who may catch this later, who say, you know what? I'd like to add a little more strength to that second service. I can make that work in my day. I don't have to be there in the early service. Now, I know it's going to be a sacrifice because there are some people that you just love hanging out with that are going to be in the first service. And you know what? You're going to end up in that second service, and maybe those same people are not going to be there. But here's an opportunity. See, I'm just throwing it out there. You know, one of the things that I learned in starting churches, and it's very true in every sense of church planting and new ministries that are starting up, we need Christians with a pioneering spirit. Amen. I'm sure Amy has heard me say this a lot of times. We need Christians with a pioneering spirit. You know, that pioneering spirit I'm talking about, you have examples of it just in American history. There were those who were willing to blaze a trail. There were those who were saying, okay, I know there's more safety and there's more comfort and it's easier living in the city, but I'm going to stretch out. I'm going to go for something more. I'm going to be a trailblazer. I'm going to be a pioneer. And you see, the problem with new churches is that so many people, church-minded people, have a tendency to be going to churches for themselves. They want the comfort. And so many times, people would visit the church, they'd love the message, they liked the worship, they even enjoyed, you know, some kids' ministry that their children were getting, but it was small. Oh, we didn't have the big stage for the children's ministry, and we didn't have all of the toys and the flashing lights and all of the other stuff. You know, we didn't have 60 different groups for every different age range for people to get involved in. Now, that's okay, I guess, if that's what you're looking for, but what I'm hoping to find is people who have enough of a pioneering spirit to say, you know what, this isn't everything that it could be, because we need people who are going to build it to what it could be. Do you have a pioneering spirit? Or is it just more comfortable to hang out in the city? If you understand what I'm saying. We need pioneers. We need pioneers in ministry who will say, okay, this ministry isn't what it needs to be, but I'm gonna put my shoulder to the work and I'm gonna help it grow to where it needs to be. You know, I'm really not, well, now I will just start rambling. If we don't grow weary, and if we keep sowing seed into other people's lives, we are going to reap a harvest. And I'm here to tell you, you should expect a harvest. That's a good thing. You know, there are times in your life when the flesh is weak, where you feel like you cannot physically go on, but the not growing weary that I'm talking about, that the scripture is talking about, is not referring to your physical body, it is referring to your spirit. Yeah. It's referring to your attitude. Amen. You see, there are works for us to do, there are works for us to do, but there are times when you may need to physically rest and refresh. And physical exhaustion can certainly affect your attitude, am I right? Excuse me. Wow, that's really exciting when I do that with a microphone. My goodness. It's like a volcano erupting. All right. There are times when actually for the greater good, you have to take care of yourself. That is a part of life. But dare I say, it's a small part of life. It really is. It's a small part of life. When you take care of other people, I tell you what, God will take care of you. And when you take care of other people, then you are refreshed. You know, when I said there are exciting things that happen in ministry, you know, I can work 24 hours a day if I was seeing miracles happen every second I turned around. You'd have a hard time getting me to go to bed and go to sleep. The exhaustion wouldn't be a problem for me there. I mean, it's just the way it works. So when you are helping other people and you are seeing results, things are going well, that will encourage you. That will strengthen you. You'll get inspired. But still, we need to understand the seasons. There is a nature, if we will, of seasons. Understand that there is a season to sow and there is a season to reap. Right? We all understand that. We live in an agriculturally oriented area. If you get outside of the city a little bit, it's easy to understand that. And you know, some fruit has a longer growing season than others. Keep that in mind. You may have sown a bunch of seed. It may have been good seed. It may have been several years ago, and you're wondering, where is the harvest? I've been sowing, and I haven't seen the harvest yet. Well, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Keep walking with the Lord and keep doing the good that you know to do and keep sowing seed. See, if you want to walk in continual blessing, you need a continual harvest. How do you ensure a continual harvest? You need to be continually sowing. You need to continually be sowing, and you'll see that seed eventually come up and produce a harvest. But again, remember, there are different growing seasons for different kinds of fruit, different lengths of time. But you need to keep planting. You know, the paper industry, the lumber industry, they figured this out a long time ago. Did you ever notice how, well, maybe I'm dating myself, but I remember back in the old days, there was a time when everybody was concerned about all the trees that were being cut down. Oh my goodness. We're destroying the earth. Well, if you were to study the amount of trees in the United States, there are more trees in the United States now than there ever have been in any time in past history. Why? Because those who are harvesting trees are planting a whole lot more than they're harvesting. The paper companies, the lumber companies figured out we can get a lot of stuff made, but you know, if we cut down all the trees, there's no more. So they are planting all the time. And, you know, they'll clear cut a whole patch of trees that they had planted, and then they'll plant a whole bunch more and come back in 20 years and take care of that. It's a process. They continually are planting, and they never run out of the supply. Now, the problem with, you know, the rainforests disappearing is nobody's replanting. They're just cutting it down. They don't have the right mindset. All right. See, I'm rambling. I'm wandering around here. Don't let me get too far. Trish, you stop me if I did. Just try. All right, so if you want continual blessing, you've got to continually be sowing. And if you're faithful to do good, that is to sow to the Spirit and not the flesh, to sow consistently and not grow weary, there will be times when you will see great harvest. You'll see the manifest glory of God in your life. It's a wonderful thing. So don't grow weary and don't lose heart. I'm telling you, it will happen. It will happen. Now, again, there are particular seasons, right? We read about it in Ecclesiastes. There's a time for this and there's a time for that. We know about seasons in Wisconsin. Every season has its characteristics. You could put a person in some vault somewhere for an indeterminate amount of time, so they don't know what day or what month it is. And if you let them out in Wisconsin weather, it won't be long before they'll figure out, oh yeah, this is summer. Or this is winter. It's winter here. We understand the characteristics of the natural seasons because we are familiar with them. We live in them. But you know what? For lack of a better term, every church age has its seasons. There was a time in the 60s that when the Jesus movement was happening. Oh man, what a time. And it was great, and there was a great harvest of young people, and the hippies and the druggies were getting saved, and a lot of good church leaders were raised up out of that bunch. Amen? You know, when I got saved, it was a little bit later than that. But it's changed. The season has changed. Back in the day when I got saved, one of the big songs that we used to sing, raise your hand if you know this song. And it was big. This was like we were rocking out to, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia." Now, that song didn't get very far into the 90s or into the 2020s. That season had a different sound to it. It had a different culture to it. There are seasons. We're in a different season than I was in when I first got saved. The charismatic renewal had its own characteristics, but a lot of that season has passed. The sound of this season is different. You know, the good old days were good, but that was then. This is now. It was right for then. And it produced abundant harvest back then, but again, this is now. God has a perfect will for each one of our lives. We were created by Him for good works. And the seasons that are here, the season that we are in, we are not in by accident. This season is a season that God had intended you to be alive in. Let me move on. Think about the story of Esther. You know, Esther is this young gal, Jewish gal, who is very beautiful. And the king is unhappy with his current wife and decides he's going to seek another. And so they kind of put the call out for all pretty girls to come and audition for the job. to put it crassly. And Esther won the audition, and she became the next queen. Well, I'm not going to spend all the time it takes to really hash out this story before you, but you know, there was another guy, a high-ranking official, who had it out for the Jews. He was just a Jew hater, and he was going to annihilate the whole Jewish race. That was his plan. And word of it got to Mordecai, Esther's uncle, and he spoke to Esther about it and said, you need to talk to the king. And she was a little concerned because, you know, you just don't go in and talk to the king about something if he doesn't want you to come in and talk to him. And it's a whole story. You know the story. She decides to talk to the king. In Esther 4:14, Mordecai is talking to her, or at least he sends her a message. And he says, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I tell you, who knows? God knows. God knew that was the right time for Esther. In fact, when we talk about God creating us, you know, that the workmanship that we are created in Christ to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do, I believe that was the work that he prepared for Esther to do in advance. I mean, he gave her the looks, he gave her the right disposition, he gave her the intelligence. Esther was the right person for the job, and then she happened to be in the right place at the right time, the right season to save Israel, to save the Jews. But notice it said, if you remain silent, deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. Interesting. If she would have remained silent, God would have raised up someone else. I have a question for you. Do you want God to raise up someone else to take your place? I don't. I mean, if I truly sense that God has a calling on my life, that he's given me good works to do, that he's prepared me for that, that he's crafted my heart and my mind and my skills for that purpose, I don't want him to need to bring in somebody else to fulfill the purpose that he called me to. God has a call for our life, good works that he's prepared for us to do. But if we don't do them, I believe he'll have to raise someone else up. I have no doubt that you were born for such a time as this. I have no doubt that this church was birthed for such a time as this. And others. There are other churches also who are being birthed for just this very moment. It is their season. You know, this church and its calling is unusual. I mean, just think about it. For God to call the Lamb family, I don't even know where you came from. I know you were in California and you were in New Mexico. You were all over St. Louis. But he called that family to move here. How many friends and family, old high school acquaintances did you have when you moved here?
Zero.
He called them to come here. If he would have asked Pastor Ben 20 years ago, are you going to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin, starting a church? Your answer would have been, are you crazy? The calling that God has on them is unique, and for this church that they eventually came here, started this grace-filled, love-oriented church in the middle of a religious stronghold, that's just God. Amen. It seems all out of kilter in the natural, but I believe they were walking in the perfect timing of the Lord. This is the season for this work, and we, Sarah and I, we're part of this. We're part of the calling to this church. And you, everyone sitting in those seats, you are called to be a part of this same calling. And if you're not, get out of here. I mean that in the nicest possible way. What I mean is, if this isn't where you are called, then there is a different place that you should be right now. But because you are here, and particularly because you're here on a Wednesday night, no crazy fool would come on a Wednesday night if this wasn't the place you were supposed to be. If you are called here, well, then let's work together. We're called for such a time as this. This is our season to plant and reap. You know, Esther was faithful to the call of God on her life, and God didn't have to raise another. Let that be said of us. 2 Timothy 4:7, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to Timothy, his young protege, and he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Now, these are the words of a man who is aware that he is going to die a martyr's death. Knowing that he has accomplished the will of God in his life. "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith." He did what he was supposed to do. He did what he was uniquely created to do. Now, you can look at Paul and you can look at Esther. Both of them created, gifted to do exactly what God had created them to do the good works that he prepared in advance for them to do. Now, they were very different. Historically, culturally, their roles were certainly different. Their outcomes were different. There's a lot of differences in them, but they had one thing that was in common. They fulfilled the purpose of God's calling for their life. And I tell you, that's what's so exciting about God having created each one of us. He's done it so uniquely that we don't have to be a copy of someone else to be successful, to be fulfilled, to fit into this world and his plans as he designed us to. The plan and the destiny that he has for each and every one of us is unique. I love that. And you should be so grateful that you are alive during this time. During this time. There's never been a better time to be alive, I don't believe. See, we are a part of the end time revival and harvest that is going to be gathered. Yeah, you, me, we get to be a part of this. This is, I'm just going to start rambling on again. Paul, I'm sure, had a little bit of an idea of you know, what ministry was like, but I'm sure he had really no idea of all that he was going to have to go through to fulfill his calling. You know, when he accepted the call of God on his life, I'm sure there was excitement and there was joy, but he had no idea that there were going to be shipwrecks and there were going to be stonings and there was going to be snake bites and there was going to be, you know, riots and there was going to be prison. And he had no idea when he accepted the call of God on his life. But I tell you what, through it all, he fought the good fight. Through it all, he fought the good fight. Pastor Ben and Petraea, Pastor Bill and Sarah, many of you could never have imagined where we would be today. If somebody would have said to me 10 years ago, "Oh yeah, you're going to be a part of Visible Church in Green Bay," I would have chuckled. Don't be silly. But I tell you what, we're here now. Are we fighting the good fight? Yeah. And when I say we, I mean all of us here. We are fighting the good fight. By the way, what is a good fight? The only good fight is the fight you win. I mean, think about it. If you lost the fight, you go, "Oh, that wasn't a good fight." The good fight is the fight you win. And that should be our ultimate goal. You know, one day for us to stand before Jesus face to face without shame, without coming up short, having fulfilled our destiny, finishing out our race, and keeping the faith. Man, oh man. 1 Chronicles 12:32 talks about the sons of Issachar. What it says about them, it says they had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And I tell you, this is our day. We must understand the times, and we need to understand what it is we are to do. Well, how can we be sure? Don't sell yourself short. We can understand the times because, again, we are His sheep. We are His people. The Bible says that His sheep know His voice, right? They won't follow a stranger. We're just going to follow after God. And if you're a little unsure, you're not sure of what that calling is, you don't know what that good work might be, well, join up with somebody who has a confidence in the good work that they are doing and help out. We want to follow Jesus. And we want to follow where Jesus is today, right? Doing the things that Jesus is doing today. The good old days, they were good. They bring back fond memories. When I was singing that Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God song, I'm sure there were some of you out there that were going, oh yeah, I remember that. That was such a good time. I remember those days. Right, Gary? I remember those days. But I tell you what, those were those days. The good old days may bring back fond memories, but I don't want to camp out in the good old days. Jesus was there, right? But He's moved on. I want to move on with Him. Those who want to just hang out in the good old days, it's like, well, they're hanging out in Capernaum, but Jesus has already gone on to Bethany and He's heading for Jerusalem now. Don't be left back in the old times, the good old days. We want to keep moving forward and live in the now for what God is doing right now. In today's culture, the generational gap is widening. I mean, I have a hard time understanding the younger people. I mean, there are things in their lives that they just get excited about. And I think, what? Where is this coming from? Why? How can that... There are ways that they think and things that they do that just make really no sense to me. But I tell you what, among believers, I believe that gap between older and younger generations is closing. Among believers. See, God said He was going to be pouring out His Spirit on all flesh, the young and the old. Older believers don't quit. Come on, we're still fighting the faith. We're not giving up. We're not going to quit. We're not laying it down yet. We're not going to hang out in the old days. We are going to continue to work, and we're going to join hands with the younger generation. You have wisdom. You have experience that younger people need, and younger people have some zeal and strength that we might not have as much of anymore. But I tell you what, if we join forces, we're going to see a great harvest gathered for Jesus Christ. See, to everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. You were born and born again at just the right time. In this time. This is your due season. This is the time to be walking in the perfect timing of God. And let's not grow weary. Let's keep doing the good things we know to do. Let's keep opening our eyes to the opportunities that God presents to us. Let's keep moving forward and not lose heart, and we will see the harvest. Amen? Amen. I'm done, or I'll just ramble on all night. It's so exciting to live today and know Jesus and just, well, again, I'll just ramble. God bless you. Thank you for coming. If you need prayer, this is a good place to get it. There are believers here. There are some people who are here tonight who would actually take time out of their day to join their faith with your faith for whatever need you might have. Can you imagine that? It's real. It's true. I'm not joshing. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed.
So bless me, Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. His name.